My name is James Sagerton. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board National Finance Committee. This is the National Finance Committee meeting of July 27th, 2021. We believe we have achieved a quorum. I'm going to ask our Paul, our secretary, to take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen. Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Okay, that's nine, and that is a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. We will now go to adopt the agenda, which I will read. Begins with convening the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The roll call, which we just did. Number three is adopt the agenda. We're doing now. Number four, the chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval, 3 minutes. Number six, ICFO report, 10 minutes report, end Q&A. Number seven, review draft 2021 KPFK budget, not T. Apologies. Number eight, budget timelines for fiscal year 2022. Nine, new business. 10, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion of the agenda? Additions, subtractions? Any objection to adopting the agenda? Hearing none, we will consider it adopted. We'll now go to the chair's announcements. I did not make this a formal chair's announcement, but I just want to say that Anita Sims is officially on vacation right now. She came out of her vacation to help us develop a KPFK draft budget, and she is here on a night when she's on vacation. I think she may even be having guests tonight, but she's here with us, so we're going to try and be efficient. She has done an awful lot for us lately with the audits and the budgets. She deserves a vacation from the world and from us, and I thank her greatly for being here tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're certainly welcome. You deserve it. And now, just a brief announcement. The Executive Director, Lydia Brazan, has responded to our resolution of July 13th, requesting her to send us the broker's contract for the sale of the KPFT studio building, saying, quote, "It will be forthcoming at the appropriate time for directors only." In the same resolution, another typo, we requested to see the renegotiated FJC loan agreement. Her response is that, quote, "It is under review for any necessary redactions," unquote. And that is the only new announcement. And so now we can go to
Lyndon for the
minutes
stack.
Approval.
Wasn't there? I'm reading more on the email you sent.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's the old announcements. I forgot to put the line in about new announcements and old announcements.
Oh, okay. So redactions is the last word on that.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Should be a line break there. Lyndon, did you want to be heard on the announcements?
Yes.
Excuse me, I just had to sneeze.
Okay.
I am going to... R. Paul, I guess that's okay, right?
Up to you. You're the chair.
Yeah, okay, sure. Go ahead, Lyndon. We've just never done it before, so... Sorry, go ahead, Lyndon.
What was the exact wording again that Lydia gave you about the contract and
the FJC
and when,
contract.
When, no, not the FJC, the real estate contract.
Okay, I'll say it slowly if you want to write it down. She says it will be forthcoming at the appropriate time.
At the appropriate time.
For directors not, only.
The appropriate time, that's not much of an answer. Thank you.
Teresa, you're welcome. Hi, Teresa. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else on that? All right, then. Arpol, I understand we have some minutes.
Yeah. Okay. I move that we approve the minutes of the July 13th, 2021 NFC meeting.
Any discussion? With the understanding that they can be corrected at any time, is there any objection to approving the minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider that done and move on to number six, which is the ICFO report. This is a 10-minute item, report and question and answers. Anita Sims presenting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may, I just wanted to provide an update of where NETA is with the Business Center. With everything, as all of you probably know, the auditor did present the audit, I believe last Tuesday, or I forget the date, maybe it was last Monday. Again, we have the information from the tax return collected. I think it's in my review box, so I'll get that out back to the auditors for it to be filed. We have, of course, talked about the date, and it was always expected this week, so we're meeting the deadline. We, for the national office, I just wanted to report. I will send that out after my presentation. For the national office, we have about 124,000 outstanding in invoices. I will tell you that the largest ones, no doubt, is NETA and Rogers, which is the auditor. And a few other things. We also have received two civil service payments, one from KPFA and another one from WPFW that were made in July. Overall, we're still behind about 449 for the fiscal year. And again, I'll send you that spreadsheet, and if you have any questions, just send me an email. Any questions that you might have on this?
Go ahead, Teresa.
You say you haven't received central services from KPFT. Have you talked to our business manager about receiving that?
I have not personally, but I know Tamara has reached out. I think the next step is probably to call them to see why. I mean, I can tell you KPFK has not made it either, but I know, you know, what their cash and bank is. I don't know about the others, but I would say that Tamara has reached out. And that is really why we have received these two, because we really got it in a critical situation, really. So I was glad to see those two come in.
Are you saying that you don't know the cash on hand in the bank account for KPFT?
I don't. Off the top of my head, I don't.
Okay.
But keep in mind, I've been out of the office for a few days on vacation.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Any other questions on that?
This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, hi, Anita, and thank you again for being here on your vacation. I you went quickly, so I think you said $124,000 in outstanding invoices, of which NETA and Rogers, the auditors, are the most. Is that what you said? I mean, so if you could give us the breakdown of what is owed to NETA and what it is owed to Rogers, that would also be helpful. If you know that, I understand you might have that.
I have it. If you just give me a second, I will pull it up. And
okay.
I do have a breakdown. The accounts payable outstanding for the national office, Rogers and Company, is sitting at $34,475, and NETA is $55,000. And we have Advocates for Justice at $15,156. That is the larger one, and I'm going to send all of you the spreadsheets. And also
okay.
Central services, sure.
Thank you. I did have one more
go ahead.
Question. Okay. Only because you were going so quickly at the beginning. I think you said that you're getting the info for the tax return, that you have collected the info for the tax returns, and you will be getting it to the auditors by the deadline this week, which I just have to say this deadline thing is kind of like what deadline, because I've heard August 16th, and of course we all heard June 30th, so maybe you could explain the deadline and what information is, you're gathering to get to what the deadline is.
It could be simply for us to fill out all the revenue expense numbers and all that. Obviously, they're going to get some of that from the financials, but also the names of the board, the volunteers, anything of that information. And the deadline for us is this week, because then that will allow them the opportunity. They've got to compile this information into the tax return and obviously verify the numbers. So that is why that allows them at least 3 weeks to finish up. And, of course, they're not going to wait till the deadline of the 16th to submit it. But that is the purpose of it.
Okay, very nice. I'm happy to hear that, there's an internal deadline that you have prior to the actual deadline. So That all sounds very good. Thank you for that explanation. That's all the questions I have.
Anytime. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Fred?
Go ahead, Fred.
Yes. Getting back to the central office, so there's about $84,000 of unpaid bills at this point. There's been some confusion at the KPFK Finance Committee as to if we had to borrow money this month to make the mid-month payroll, and if we'll have to borrow any additional money to make the end-of-month payroll. Could you clarify that information?
What station, KPFK?
KPFK.
Yes. According to Barry, they do have the funds to meet the payroll for the end of the month. And I think that those funds just came in because I know he had sent us a note earlier, I think it was Monday, saying that he was concerned about it. But the same situation happened last payroll. They were a little short, and almost at the day that they were needed, the funds came in. So they have not needed to borrow from another station, if you will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I have a couple of questions myself, Anita, if I could.
Sure.
I just want to, I mean, I think it's obvious, but just for anyone who might be listening, what does it portend for the future if during fund drive, KPFK is having difficulty meeting payroll a few days before it's due for the months ahead when we won't be in fund drive? As I say, I think it's obviously a concern. I just wonder if you had any thinking on that.
Well, personally, I think we need to evaluate what is getting paid and maybe put a little bit more thought into it. Obviously, you know, not to take away that decision from management staff, but, you know, I think, quite frankly, payroll should be preserved or as much as you can. I'm assuming that some of those bills were also just as important. I don't know. But again, we don't see those vendor invoices. They don't come through us. So again, and I have mentioned this before, that I think payroll has got to be that money that you set aside to ensure that you're going to have payroll funds. Again, not knowing that hopefully next week to kind of start just offering some support in that area.
Thank you. I just had one other question, and that was the tax returns that you were referring to, again, for the benefit of the listeners. Those are the 990s, is that right?
Correct.
Thank you. Anyone else have any other questions?
Yes, Lyndon does.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Hi, Anita. The fact that we owe you and Rogers and the attorneys, and this is after the infusion of $200,000 from WBAI, is that correct?
Yes.
And the money from the house in Texas, $325,000 came into our laps, and we're still 85 or something, or whatever that number is, in arrears. What is the aging on these accounts payable?
I think most of them are 60 days.
Okay, thank you. That's fine. Thank you.
All right. But the spreadsheet, Lyndon, tells you that. I sent it. You received it.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Oh, this is Sharon again. Yes.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay. That was an interesting question by Lyndon. And okay, I heard that the situation at the national office does include the $200,000 received from WBAI. And then what was that about the house from Texas? Is that, and what was the amount there? What was going on with that?
I'm sorry, Sharon, were you asking me?
Because somehow, maybe I should have asked Lyndon, but I wasn't quite sure what you guys, both of you were saying, because it sounded like Lyndon said there was an infusion of $385,000 and that included the house from Texas. And then I was like confused about what, does that mean that there was a sale of a house in Texas for $185,000 and that's also been included in your national office? I was just confused about what was being said there.
Well, first of all, the gift that WBAI received did come to the national office, but of that, based on an invoice that we received, some of that money was payable back to your other vendor, FJC. I guess I can mention the name since I already did. That check went out also. And honestly, I don't have in front of me because that's the part where Tamara and I, for no other reason, of separation of duty. Tamara works with Lydia on making sure that the bills are paid. So they make those decisions. I get that information after the fact. So quite frankly, I don't remember the dollar amount of the building, but I don't recall it being $300,000. But I can get that for you.
Lyndon for the sack.
Let's just see if Sharon is done. Was that all, Sharon?
Well, I think Lyndon might be trying to answer. So I want to still hear. I'm not quite satisfied, but I want to hear what Lyndon has to say.
Okay, go ahead, Lyndon.
Before any money went to FJC, the total that should have come into national office would be $324,000. The house in LaPorte, Texas was $124,000. Does that answer your question?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I didn't hear the number there either. Okay, but thank you, Lyndon. And I guess I'm just trying to still follow up. So does that mean that of that $124,000 from the house, did some of that also go to FJC, or what's happening with that?
Chris Corey for this deck.
Sharon, were you asking Lyndon or Anita?
Well, maybe Chris knows. I'm asking somebody who knows, maybe.
Yeah. This is Lyndon. I'd say that I don't know if any of that money went to FJC. I don't believe it was any of it was destined to go. The entirety of the $124,000 from the house in LaPorte, Texas, went to the national office, as far as I know.
And Lyndon, I think you are correct. That is my understanding.
Chris for the stack.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, I have Chris and then Teresa.
Yeah. I can confirm that. So what happened is that the sale happened almost exactly. Yeah, the sale, it was concluded that the sale should be credited entirely to Texas Essential Services. I can't remember how that came about. It had to do with the time, but anyway, that's my recollection. And I remember that the subject actually came up when the property was sold. So.
I think we had that discussion here on the committee, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I thought so. Okay. Was that Teresa?
Yeah, I'm next.
Go ahead.
So we gave, someone gave a gift of a house to KPFT in honor of Larry Winter's Spare Change Show, and we made $124,000 profit from it. But that we also paid taxes on that house. And I think that KPFT paid those taxes, but all of the money went to National. So are we going to get any refund of these taxes that we paid?
If you're asking me, I don't know that. At all. I've not heard that before.
Chris Corey for the stack.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, sorry to keep interrupting the flow of conversation here. So this tax issue has come up quite a bit over the last, I'd say, 6 months. And I think the general consensus is that taxes will be and that it should be a function of the national office to pay them. So we just have to figure out a way to work that out as part of the central services thing. So I think that will be included when we do a central services formula revision, which I believe is also on the table at this juncture. Thank you.
This is the chair. I just want to remark that apparently since the national office unilaterally decided how to allocate those funds with, I don't know, at least to my knowledge, without input from Texas, I guess they're also doing the same with the taxes. And I don't know if that's our precedent, but perhaps it would have been better if at least Texas was consulted on that, which apparently, at least in some quarters, they were not. That's just a commentary.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
My only comment, if I may,
Of course.
That I would love to be part of those discussions also, quite frankly.
As I think you probably should be.
Yep.
And may I ask, I have one other question, if I may, if nobody else has one. Anita, you mentioned that you don't see the payments to the vendors, but then you said that, God, I'm blanking on her name right now.
I would be happy to describe the process, if I may.
Yeah, let me just get the question out. I think you said that Tamara worked with the national office on that question, so it's not that NETA doesn't see them. It's just that you don't see them. Tamara does that end. Is that what you meant?
Correct.
Go ahead.
But, I mean, the process is the invoices come in. They're entered by a staff accountant, if you will. When they're into the accounts payable modular, then she will send that to Lydia for confirmation of which ones she would like paid. And then that's the second step to that, if you will. Then once that decision is made, then the funds are either in the bank, available, or they're not. So they communicate that with one another, and then they're paid, if you will.
Anita, I know at WBAI and I guess WPFW, we send the invoices directly to you.
Yes.
Do you actually see the invoices from all the other stations, or do you just get summaries?
We don't get anything from, as an example, KPFK. I can ask the business manager to send me a list of what's outstanding, but we don't get a outstanding listing of what has come in, because what happens, they're entering them as they're able to pay them. So to my knowledge, there's never really an outstanding subsidiary of accounts payable.
Is that an ideal way to operate?
No.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, not at all. Any payable that comes in is approved by someone, a department head or management, then should be entered into accounts payable and expensed, if you will, regardless of when it's paid.
Yeah. Understood. Well, perhaps that's a subject for another agenda. Are there any other questions? Anything else you'd like to add, Anita?
No, sir. I think I've talked enough. Thank you.
Okay, well, seeing that there are no other questions, why don't we go to item 7, and that is a review of the draft 2021 KPFT budget. Again, Anita Sims presenting. We have an hour set aside for this, but we may not take that long, since we're only basically going to walk through this, and then we'll have a couple of weeks to analyze it since we just got it. And
KPFK.
KPFK, I'm sorry, did I say T again?
Yeah.
I apologize. Yeah, and then we'll look at it more closely the next time. So go ahead, Anita. Thank you.
Okay. And hopefully you have it in front of you, as I do, to kind of look at it. We went ahead and did June close out the month in. So AB, column AB, is June, if you
Anita, could I ask you to suspend for just one moment?
Yes.
That went out at around 5-something Eastern time. I just want to make sure everybody gets it in front of them. Does everybody have it?
Did someone say the file name?
It's FY21 KPFK projected year end WKK revisions.
That is correct.
And it was at, I see it was actually at 7:47 p.m. Eastern. Let's just wait a moment while people get it. When you find it, you could maybe say something and we'll know we can move ahead.
I got it.
This is Beth. I have mine.
Very good. All right, James, why don't you go ahead then?
James, yeah? Fred here. Yeah. I got it at 2:15 today.
Very good.
Thank you. I thought I had sent it out earlier than that. So anyway, I was going to start out by saying we added June actuals, if you will, and the next column over is year-to-date, of course, for that period. And then we took an estimate. We estimated revenue. Again, we did ask for station input and received it for July, August, and September to come up with a total, if you will. Again, I'm looking on line 8, column AH, if you will. Again, as we go further down, we also added another column, which is an annualized, if you will. And if you humor me and go over to AK, column AK, line 8, and that essentially we took average, if you will, bless you, the 9 months, and took, came up with that average times 3 months to come up to a little higher revenue. Again, I also communicated with the business manager on how the place drive was tracking. My understanding is that it is very behind from their projected goal, if you will. Again, and as I'm looking for my last notes on it, email, if you will. So let me finish, essentially. And so this, what this tells us is, so we did adjust revenue down. We also adjusted the personal costs to make sure that we were on track for those hard costs. So I know those changed a little bit from the last document that you had seen. And then we added a board expense of $50,000 for elections that we did not find in there. So we came up with a different total operating expense, and also adding, of course, central services. So we show a shortfall, if you will, or a loss of $224,872. And I think when it was presented the last time, I think we were within a couple of $1,000. So these are swings, if you will. So I invite you to look at the numbers. I'll be happy to answer questions as we move further along or when we talk about it at the next meeting. I will tell you that we took about a day and a half to pull all this together, again, with station help. Any questions?
Fred?
Go ahead, Fred.
When you say station help, is that just primarily the business manager, or does that include the interim GM, too, and other people?
Well, I'm sure other people help answer questions, but I primarily communicate with the business manager.
Okay. Also, excuse me, I noticed that for the fourth quarter, that the income is almost $200,000 in deficit, additional deficit for as compared to the first three quarters of the year. That's a little disturbing. Of course, we ran in fiscal year 20, we ran a $700,000 deficit, and it appears that this year we're going to run a $224,000 deficit. It's down, but I would prefer to see it down further. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if I may, I should have commented on this. From my emails that I received, the KPFK is averaging about 7,200 per day currently. So anyway, it's not, the fund drive is not doing well, or in this last week, if you will. He also shared cash and bank balance, if you will, and what he felt that they could pay from those funds. But he also is saying that they will probably extend the fund drive to 4 weeks in order to meet monthly expenses and not have a fund drive in September. Any other questions?
Anita, Fred again, a follow-up on that.
Yes.
Does that mean the fund drive is going to extend into mid-August?
That is what he is saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris. That's our Paul.
Thank you. Looking over these numbers, there's something that really jumps out at me, and that's that I think that KPFK has the distinction of being one of only two stations that with PPP funds is projected to report a loss this year. Without the PPP funds, the loss would be closer to $550,000 by my calculation.
Correct.
And although that is an improvement, as Fred pointed out, it's not an improvement of like 60%. It's an improvement of like 20%. So I'm distressed by this report. I have specific questions about three of the categories. I don't be able to answer them, but if you can, that would be delightful. You'll probably need to research it and get back to me, and that's also perfectly expected and understood. So the three categories that showed the largest increases year over year are the legal category, which is plus 90,000 year over year. I'm assuming that has to do with severance. Repair and maintenance, which is 17. Not sure what that has to do with. Maybe there was some sort of a rupture or roof replacement or something. I don't know. Maybe somebody from KPFK can tell us. And then there's a telemarketing expense of 51,000 increase. I personally, that looks like a possibly good idea to me, but I would definitely like an explanation of what it is. So if anybody has anything to say about the repair and maintenance and telemarketing expenses, that would be looks.
We'll get you some answers and send them out to the committee.
Thank you.
Is that it, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Okay, our Paul.
All right. You said the KPFK was averaging how much per day?
7,200.
7,200 per day, and okay. All right. I think that's it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is James, the chair. That's about half of what they were averaging not too long ago, and that's about half of what they need, isn't it? Per day? Maybe I should ask that of Barry. Not Barry, I'm sorry, Fred.
My understanding is the February fund drive was doing about 11,000 a day. So it's almost half.
And prior to that, your fund drives were making about 15 a day, weren't they?
They haven't made 15,000 for a couple of years. That would be pre.
Okay.
That would have been pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else?
Chris. This is Lyndon.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
It looks to me like that KPFK did meet the goal of decreasing their expenses by, what was it, 30% we asked for? And still they're losing, but I mean, obviously revenues have gone down as equally as fast, but it looks like they did comply with the mandate to decrease expenses. Do you think that is a correct statement, Anita?
I think so. If you look at prior year, if you will, especially on the revenue. No, actually, that one is lower. Oh, that's the PPP money. So if you take out, there was not a major improvement, if you will, there. I actually would like to take out, look at all the major expenses and see, besides for staff, personal costs, to see where the swings are. With the exception, I mean, we see board expenses that were not in there. That's $50,000. As Chris mentioned, the other large number, and just see what else is out there. Health benefits also are high. They're actually higher. And again, for 3 months, they're estimated, but still, they're higher than prior year. So I'd like to find out more information from the station on that. But, I mean, there's several categories that I'm looking at, and the expenses are not going in the right direction.
Lyndon for the staff again, please.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
I just wanted to correct myself. What I looked at was personnel costs, and the top line, row 20, had October, November, December averaged $180,000, and then the July, August, September estimates are $107,000. So I thought that meant it was about a decrease of over 30%.
Right.
I just wanted to correct myself.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I wanted to reflect on that I'm getting a very distracting, confusing echo.
Beth?
Of myself, yes?
Beth, excuse me. We're getting some kind of an echo or an extraneous noise on your line?
I don't think it's on my line. I only have one device open.
Okay, go ahead. It's better now.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to comment on the correlation between the decline in our fund drive results and concomitant cuts in personnel. The February fund drive was down. That followed immediately on the heels of laying off both the programming director and the development director at the end of January. So there was no time to prepare. No one else at the station was prepared to coordinate the fund drive, especially on no notice, and it's reflected in the result. And then, when was it? It was the end of March, I think, that the general manager left, and there's been an interim in the interim, but he's splitting his time between KPFK and Washington, where he wears another hat. And I think that the severe, I will say severe decline in our results, fundraising results, reflect the fact that there's no one, that the fund drive is not getting adequate attention and skill. And that's a concern. We will be getting a new GM in the middle of September, but that's, you know, almost, well, not quite 2 months down the road, but that's a long, long time to wait. And he'll be arriving to empty cupboards and the need to raise money immediately. So I'm just trying to correlate the numbers with real life and consequences of decisions that have been made and what decisions may yet lie ahead of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Anyone else? I'd just like to add on to what Beth just said, what I said earlier, and just complete the circle. You know, in FunDrive, we're having trouble making payroll. We're just making payroll right before it's due. And I don't know what's going to happen in these months to come. You know, if we continue the fund drive for, you know, another period, that's okay. But then to have no fund drive in September, then what's going to happen? So it sounds like we have to make some quick decisions, kind of back where we were earlier. Anyone else?
Lyndon for the SAC.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
I think you hit on what I was thinking. We see these numbers now, so as the Finance Committee, we would like to see balanced budgets. I mean, that, I think that's what we asked for, although we didn't hit it in all cases, as we're reminded of. So where do we go from here? What do we do as individuals on the Finance Committee looking at what we're looking at? I know that's not an easy question to answer.
I'm going to take a stab at that, though, Lyndon. And, you know, obviously we are not management, so we cannot make decisions that management makes. But we are going to be working on this budget, which, Anita, I think we discussed this budget is based on actuals, right? This is not a normal predictive budget that you create before a fiscal year begins. This is a budget that we're creating when we're 10 months into the fiscal year, right?
Well, Craig, through June are real numbers. They're year-to-date. July,
right.
August, and September are estimated based
correct.
On
okay.
the information.
So 9 months, then, I stand corrected.
Yes.
And, but at least we have these actual numbers, and if as we crunch these numbers and try to balance this budget in the next 2 weeks, as we study it and then come back in 2 weeks to look at it, my suggestion is as a committee that we, once we get something we can approve for KPFK now, we go to the National Office Budget and the Central Services Formula, try to deal with that quickly, and then turn right around and go right back to the KPFK budget and start again for the fiscal year 22 and hammer something out that, again, you know, we can suggest how much we should budget in given areas. We can't make decisions on what to cut. But at least we could go right back to this as our first task for fiscal year 22. Anyone else? I guess I'd like to add one more thing. Did I hear someone?
Yeah, it's Chris. I'm actually kind of speechless right now. I'm looking at this thing, and it's I wish I could say something rosy. Go ahead. Take your turn, James. Let me gather my thoughts. Thanks.
I was just going to say, I hope we're not going to find ourselves in a situation that I was concerned about and mentioned when we were having the PPP money I was arguing at that time that now that we have, you know, prior to getting the PPP money, we were in a situation where KPFK was in somewhat of a free fall, and we didn't have the cash to lay off people that we couldn't afford to pay. So we were in a catch-22. We couldn't afford to pay people, but we couldn't lay them off because we didn't have the cash to give them their severance and other, you know, vacation pay and such. I hope we're not going to be going back into another period like that, because, you know, I don't see any PPP on the horizon. You know, God forbid the pandemic gets worse, but certainly we don't see anything like that on the horizon. It's just a comment. Do you have your thoughts collected, Chris?
Yeah. I think I'm just going to reiterate what you said before. We really need to make this our first priority. I mean, of the overall losses in the institution, the majority of them are going to fall into this one station. So if we can tackle this one and get our arms around it, there's an opportunity to do tremendous good for the entire organization. And if we can just focus on it and work our way through it before fiscal year end, that would be great isn't the right word. I mean, it would be extremely helpful, I guess, is the best I can muster right now. Thanks. Yeah, that's it.
Understood. Thank you for that. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, if I may comment.
I was just about to ask you if you had anything else. Please do.
I really do feel that we should get into the details, if you will. I mean, and start looking even down to the invoice and see if in fact, and I don't know if this committee has that authority, but to look at some of the expenses that to me are high. They're high from prior year. I mean, they might be necessary. And I'm not saying they're not legitimate, but at some point you're going to have to start cutting. And I think this committee, myself included, I feel that I'm part of you, that we should be looking at every line item that is, you know, high. And you have several line items here that I would question. I would want to see what is for, and be able to track it for every month. And things that stand out, as an example, are telephone expense. Is that for the pledge drive alone, or is it everyone in the building have a phone? Or is that desk phones, if you will, or is it cell phones? I mean, those are the types of questions that I don't know without asking. Professional fees, legal, what does that make up? Also, consultants, temps, I guess those are in the building or for pledge drive also. That amount is higher than it was last year. Essentially, there's some travel, not much, but I'll take that one off because it just occurred to me what that is. But anything in here, I think we need to get to a point, is it necessary? Do you stop working, dealing with vendors before they cut you off anyway? And when you look at line item premiums from other vendors, that is lower than last year, but that's still high. I realize that some of it is necessary, but again, without looking at an invoice to see what the premium is, if you will. Maybe you can purchase something that's not as expensive. Telemarketing, same thing. That's high. And is telemarketing is higher than last year. So we'll find out what that one involves. But at some point, I really do feel that you're going to have to reduce expenses. That's my only comment.
I heard you, Teresa. Go ahead.
I noticed that when David Bass came on as our general manager, he had enough experience to look at our internet and phones and a lot of our expenses and eliminate and streamline. And I think he saved a lot of money. Do you not see that reflected in our budget, Anita? And
no,
Lyndon, do you want to weigh in on this? Because see, I got the impression that he made a lot of savings. He found quite a bit of savings for us.
Just let's clarify, Teresa. You're talking about KPFT's budget.
Correct, and I'm just wondering if someone needs to really, maybe Mo needs to look at KPFK and find similar duplication or unnecessary expenses. Somebody that is maybe as qualified or experienced as David was.
Lyndon for the sec.
And Julie.
I heard Anita starting to reply. I wondered if she wanted to finish.
I was going to comment. I think Mo has been more involved in the fundraising component. I don't know that expenses have really been looked at. And maybe if they have, maybe, you know, they just haven't. The saving has not been realized as of yet. So in fairness to all at the station, I guess what I would like to do is really start asking the question and do an analysis, if you will, that all of you that want to see those expenses can do so. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Was it Lyndon?
Yes. As far as KPFT, I don't think we're going to see anything until July. Or maybe even August, as far as the savings and reduction. It's mainly savings and reductions from, we had like 8 or 11 bills we were paying to AT&T every month, and we hardly, you know, could identify what they were. And so perhaps, I mean, and that's the detail I think Anita is wanting to be able to look at now. And I think that if you want to cut expenses, that is the detail you have to get into. You need to go line by line. And do it that way. But I don't think the savings, it's not in our budget, Teresa, but hopefully it'll be in our actuals in July and August.
Correct.
And Julie, to the stack.
Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to add that, you know, Mo, working with Jerry, our general manager, has been really good at identifying savings and doing things at WPFW, you know, in ways that were way cheaper. Our phones was one of the things that they, you know, figured out were costing us a lot and found a way to make it way cheaper. So it could just be that Mo has spent more time on the fundraising side, but, you know, maybe we really, you know, need to ask, you know, that they can, that he considers, you know, kind of doing a deep dive on the expenses, unless, you know, Anita can identify some things that, you know, specific things to ask questions about that might point Mo in the right direction. But he's generally good at that.
Yes. I think we can point him in a direction to kind of look at some of these areas. Obviously, some of them Chris mentioned also, and others that have not been mentioned, I think, would be good to be able to have that analysis. And an invoice, if you will, for us to look at.
This is the chair. I want to say that, you know, my intention when we started this was to get some budgets on the books quickly because we hadn't had it for a while. And thankfully, due to our arrival of NETA, we've been able to begin to develop budgets. But, you know, as an exercise, I wanted to get them on the books quickly. And then it was always my intention for fiscal year 22 to examine things line by line more closely. And so I think, you know, that is what we should do, as Anita suggests. And I also, I wonder, Anita, and I, you know, I know sometimes it's difficult to do these things, especially when you're dealing with so many things at once, but we have frequently made mention of possible economies of scale across the network if we did things like, you know, have a common phone service. Maybe that would be very difficult to switch phone services at stations because there's so many phone lines. And, you know, I understand that there are trunk lines that go to towers, and I understand how that can be difficult. But there were a number of areas that we identified where if we did things across the network and got reduced prices because we were consuming more volume from particular vendors, that we could get some savings there. And also, it seems to me we discussed at one point, I guess we had a resolution that NETA would have access to the bank accounts, and then we had another resolution where they would have access to credit card accounts. And maybe it's time we have a resolution giving NETA access to the vendor accounts and the bills as they come in. And one of the things that the business managers could do is just copy NETA on the bills as they're being processed. You know, I realize that might add an extra task that might initially bog things down, but perhaps it would also give some clarity and enable us to do this kind of analysis of the expenses. Any thoughts on that from anyone? Maybe Anita herself?
Risa for the staff?
Yes, I would be happy to comment on that.
Let me hear from Anita first, if you don't mind, Teresa.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you.
I mean, my suggestion, and this is how we really communicate with all the other stations that we work with, we provide them a scanner, if you will. So when the invoice comes in, they scan, you know, a pile of invoices or whatever. They do it daily, sometimes three or four times a week. But we're getting all those invoices. But on our end, we are processing them once they have been approved. So, I mean, the scenario here could be that we provide you a scanner and the invoices are scanned. So then we are part of that discussion as far as being able to work with the station on cash flow.